Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I wanted to add this into the conversation. I have an update. I have an update for you. Remember when we were talking earlier about, like, where do the 49ers go from here as far as NFC favorite? They remain the NFC favorite. However, they did go into the weekend at plus 550. That's their Super Bowl odds. Their odds to not just win the NFC, to win the Super Bowl. Plus 550. They lost the game, and they went to plus 650. And then the Debo announcement came out, and they went to plus 700.
Okay, little
so
move.
If you're starting to, if you still want to buy stock in the Niners, I don't know. Maybe today's a good day to go put a little something on it, because the number has gotten better, somewhat significantly better.
Yeah, if I was interested in like riding the number and putting money on it, I still would wait because there's a chance you go to LA and lose. It's a road game.
Sure.
It's a road game-ish.
Always a chance.
And, you know, New England is better than I thought they'd be. I mean, they're not great.
They're serviceable.
Serviceable. They've got a good defense. And, you know, if the news comes out that Debo misses more than a couple, we know McCaffrey's going to miss the next three at least.
At least.
It feels like that'll be longer. So if you're interested in the number and you still believe in the Niners, like Grandpa Daddy was just saying, you know, I'm not worried at all, guys. There's a new park by my house. I love it. I would wait and see if that number inflates a little bit more.
It could. It could.
Because even if they won two in a row, I don't think the number would plummet. The number would probably stay about where it is.
Probably. Chris in San Diego next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you for answering.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller. And I love your show. One of the things I wanted to talk about, and I agree with some of the other guys who have been calling, is I would like to see Shanahan, you know, utilize his players, you know, a little bit more. All of them, not just McCaffrey. You know, and I know how everybody was calling in, you know, in the past, last year. You know, why are we running McCaffrey all the time? Because we're scared of him getting hurt. And something like this was inevitable. And now he's running Mason all the time, right? And, I mean, I don't want to see him get hurt all of a sudden. And, I mean, when he's running 28 runs in a game, 24, 28, he's doing great. He's doing awesome. I think we need to give him more credit than he deserves. But I just don't want to see him get hurt. And we got the greatest. We have a lot of talent on the team. Wish he just didn't pass to Debo or to Kittle. Or just some of the few, you know, because it's obvious for the defense to read. Others have been calling in and commenting the same thing, but I just have to concur with it. In fantasy football, I usually don't like to choose some of the running, you know, the wide receivers and cake on the Kansas City because, you know, Mahomes has so many of them, and he utilizes all of them. They're always running plays, and he's always throwing to different players. So I don't pick players on fantasy football from the KC.
Chris, do you feel like the Niners were locking in on one or two people? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Kind of locking in on the few. Uh-huh. Once in a while, you'll see Jazuka, and I'll get one. But I think we just need to utilize everybody.
Right on.
I got you.
Thank you, Chris.
Sorry, that one tripped me up.
That was a good one. And you know what?
Did he call
honestly,
him Jazook?
It is Jazook. Kyle can say whatever he wants about his last name, but you want to sound that thing out? It's Jazook. It's not Juszczyk.
Oh, God.
The Poughkeepsie kid.
What's it?
We can go ahead and add that.
How's it spelled? JUSZCZYK. I would argue it's just Zick.
Sure. Sure, whatever you want to make it. I know this. Jazook. Every time that I text it, whenever I go on Twitter, I try to like look it up and spell it right because some people be like, "Look, just spell you idiot."
No
but whenever
chance.
I text it, I go J-U, and then I throw in a couple of Z's and a C and a Y and a K somewhere in there. I never spell it correctly.
And you don't have to.
Thank you.
There's a couple names in Bay Area sports that you like. There are about 14 different ways you can spell them, and everyone will still know who you're talking about.
Right.
Juszczyk, Yaz, and probably Poughkeepsie
and Pods,
Kid.
Yeah.
Poughkeepsie Kid.
Yeah, exactly.
But Pods is just Pods, and Yaz is Yaz.
Right.
And
well, Juice is Juice.
So if you put Juice, then it's Juice, but sometimes you try to spell it, and it's seriously, I don't know where the Z and the C and the other Z go.
I really don't want it to sound like I'm making fun of the caller. That just really hit me in my funny button.
Jazook. Yeah, it's great.
That was awesome.
Otherwise, though, his call was, I think, fairly spot on. I don't think that they focus on...
You don't think they're spreading it around?
They try to, but right
One,
now...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different people caught balls yesterday.
Okay, but, you know, you have one guy running it, and, you know, I was looking through the Kyle Shanahan transcript today from the press conference, and I didn't see a question about Guerrero, but yeah. I could give you the answer that Kyle would have given if asked.
Go ahead. How'd you feel about Isaac Guerrero's effort?
Well, I thought the one carry was a little flaccid and stuff, and I just don't think that he's ready to run it and stuff. And wow. I'm not really ready to give him more totes and stuff. And I think you saw from the one carry.
You better be careful.
Oh, I mean, it's a word. It's not a curse word and stuff. And it's, you know, you saw the one carry and I gave him one snap and that's what we got out of the one snap. And so I didn't feel like he was ready to get another snap and stuff.
You know how people say that Brock Purdy is like a concoction of Kyle Shanahan?
He's getting there.
The proof is not in the play.
What's the proof in?
The press conference.
The stuff.
Listen one more time to him talk. This is Brock Purdy on Brandon Ayuk. Granny, you can turn this off after the first 5 seconds.
I think he looks pretty good and stuff, but...
There you go.
Yeah, he's getting there.
Yep, product of the system. You were all right. Complete product of the system.
The caller is not wrong. I know that they threw the ball to 8 different receivers, fine, but right now it feels like Mason's the only one allowed to carry it with McCaffrey and Debo out, and they're looking for Kittle to throw it to, and hopefully Ayuk is up and ready to go, and he can start getting more targets, but right now it doesn't feel like the way it used to, which is Juwan and... You know, Juszczyk or whatever that guy called him. Or,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't feel right now like they're spreading it around because they can't.
Juice had 5 targets.
Yep.
Jennings had 4. Ayuk had 5. Kittle had 8. Debo had 10. And then Saubert had a couple. Conley had 1. And Mason had 1. I don't know. That doesn't bother me. That feels spread out. That feels pretty good. That's pretty good. Spreading out
dispersal.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's okay. I mean,
what did you want? You want everybody to get equal time?
No. What I want is twofold. One, I want them to have another running back that they can hand the ball to as a change of pace back.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
So right now it's been Debo.
Who do you want that person to be?
Well, I would love it to be Guerrero, but based on the one carry and stuff, I don't think that he's ready. And that's, I'm only reacting based on what Kyle did. So Kyle puts him in. They give him the ball. He goes nowhere. End of Guerrero playing offense.
Yeah.
That to me is a telling reality. The other one I'd like to see, Mark, is I'd like to see them maybe get a 7-step drop and pump one down the field one time. They didn't throw the ball down the field at all. And I know pass protection was a little spotty.
Yep.
But it was a pretty vanilla offensive approach from a passing standpoint, I thought.
Well, I just think that I think the offensive line got beat. And I don't know what was in the play call. I don't know what was what the effort was. But if the offensive line breaks down a little bit, you're right, those plays downfield are not going to develop. So I don't even know what the play call was, but Brock was often having to move around, run for his life. A couple things were off timing, and that's on him. And then outside of that, You know what I mean? Like, he completed balls, but yeah, like, not far enough downfield. They end up in third down and short too much, and they were absolutely ineffective on that third and short. The Vikings did a great job. Vikings did a really good job. Let's see how good of a job you're going to do.
Oh,
the game's about to start.
Yeah, we should get the pick in, and I'll give you my third down breakdown after that, but I want to make sure that the pick gets in because I'm ready to start another winning streak.
Yeah, the hot streak is over. You had the Niners minus the points.
And I should have known better.
That did not happen, but there's always another game. And tonight, the Eagles are laying 5.5 against the Atlanta Falcons, and it's time to fade the Dippers.
It's time for
Fade the Dippers.
Please explain.
Nostra Tiblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
I don't think I like that anymore. We're going to need a new open. I like that.
It's my favorite part of the day. It's my absolute favorite part of the day. Yeah, so again, if you're new to the show, Grandy and Lucas purchased a home together as an investment in July off of money that they made betting against Dibs. So
fade the Dibber.
Yeah, we grabbed the idea and we're like, well, we should just get Dibs picked for every primetime game so that you can all bet against it. But who's got the last laugh?
Yeah.
We don't know. Five primetime games in, Dibs has won three of them.
Yeah.
And now we got another game.
We do. I'm up 0.8 units if you're into units. 3 wins and 2 losses. And tonight, this one's pretty easy to me because you've got a team with a quarterback who is shaking off the rust, looked a little stiff and stale in a week 1 loss, but he's going to be fresher here. And you know what? He's going to unlock all these weapons that he has all around him. And even though it's a road game, Philadelphia is going to have the Samba hangover coming back from Brazil. We're taking Atlanta and the 5.5.
Atlanta plus 5.5.
What was Lucas's reaction to
tonight
that?
In Philadelphia? Lucas had no reaction.
Oh.
Which is not good.
Tells That's me he also likes smiling. Atlanta.
Just smiling over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Back to retirement.
And I gave the pick, Grandy immediately swiveled over to his phone.
Yeah, because he made a bet.
He's making it in real time. Yeah, I know what you're doing.
He's got to do it fast because the game's about to start.
Well, and Lucas's reaction, he turned to me and says, are we doing it?
Oh, you're doing it.
Oh, you're doing it.
It. Now, I'm going to admit
don't have
right
much
now,
time.
I'm going to sit this one out because I am biased. And I don't like to bet when I'm biased.
Mm.
In my brother-in-law's pick and pool, I am in line to get the victory if the Eagles win. They just have to win. They don't need to cover.
Gotcha.
They just need to win the game. But because of that emotion, I think that that could shade some of my thinking about how this game might go. So I'm going to sit this one out.
That's fair.
I'm just going to sit here and watch you put your you-know-whats on the line.
And they're there.
And then we'll see where it goes from there.
In my confidence pool, if the Falcons cover, I win. I win the week. And it's no small payout. It's a pretty decent size little payout. So
how much?
I would say.
How many units?
How many large pizzas? If I was to get a large pizza at the pizzeria that's near here, probably four large pizzas worth.
Four large pizzas? Oh.
Combos.
Okay.
All right. Major.
Okay.
And that's not
large pizzas are expensive now.
Sneaky expensive.
Yeah.
So I thought about hedging against myself, but that goes against the bit. The bit is I make the pick that I actually think is going to win. So I think the Falcons are going to cover.
Okay, so if the Eagles win by 3, everybody's a winner at Harvey's.
Everybody wins.
Perfect. All right, let's root for that then.
Please.
Let's go Eagles by 3.
That 24-21 works for me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care. It's more stressful than it needs to be. I'd like 413-0 so that I can just chill at halftime.
Well, that doesn't work for me.
No, well, then fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so everyone's clear, if Atlanta covers, there will be no pizza. So I'm not buying you pizza.
Atlanta covers.
I will win 4 pizzas worth of money, but there will be no pizza.
I'm not asking for pizza.
Good. Yeah,
I'm not asking for
pizza. I'm going to eat it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I mean, yeah, I usually eat pizza most days, but it doesn't have to be from you. All right, anyway.
You were mentioning third down.
Oh, please.
And please yesterday, explain. The Niners went 3 of 13 on third and fourth down. Just looking at third down, they went 2 of 10, and their average yards to gain was 7.5. So they really didn't have a lot of the third and shorts that you were referring to.
Well, that's the average. I'm going to say, because of penalties and whatnot, I remember a lot of third and longs, a lot of third and 12s, a lot of third and 13s.
Yeah, I got a 14. Kittle got 11 on that.
Yep.
And then they converted the following fourth down. I've got a third and 12. He got sacked.
Okay.
I got a third and 15. He fumbled.
Okay.
I got a third and 10 where Kittle got 14, moved the chains. Those were the third and longs, and okay, they converted one of them.
Okay. How do we do on third and 5 or less?
Third and 3 opening drive, pass down the field, incomplete.
That was a no. Yep.
Third and 5 on the next drive, incomplete. That was a punt. Third and 6, Kittle got 10. Third and 5, Kittle got 3. That was the goal line one where he got to the 2-yard line.
Yep.
And then, of course, they didn't get the fourth down. Third and 3... Mason got one and fumbled. He was able to recover it.
Yep.
And then they had fourth and 2 again, and they didn't get it.
So of all those that you just named, they got one. And to me, that's the game. That's the game. You have to be in the NFL. You have got to be able to convert third and 3. That's the most important play in the game. You're going to get some third and 10s. You're not going to get most of those. I get that. That is a negative play.
Yep.
But when you have got third and manageable, third and 3, third and 4, a great offense is able to usually get the ball across the line. And the Niners didn't do that yesterday. And that is a combination of a lot of things. That's a combination of, if you don't like the play calling, it's a combination of, I thought Brock was off timing a little bit. But I, like, in my mind, as the game is happening, I'm looking at this and I'm going, man, they're really feeling Christian McCaffrey not being here, because he is a nightmare to cover in those situations. And he's very, very good at finding openings in order to move the chains. And they don't have him. And so this is going to be a problem. The offense is going to be a lesser entity with Christian out. And now the breaking news that Deebo Samuel's going to be out for a couple of weeks as well. So that will be where my focus is again coming up this week. When you've got third and 5 or less,
yep,
you've got to be really good at that.
0 for 5 yesterday in third and 5 or less, including the last one, which was third and 1, as they were trying to, you know, drive down and score. They were down by 2 scores, and Deebo lost the 9 yards. That was third and 1, and they kicked the field goal hoping to get the onside kick, and they didn't get it back. As we sit right now, the 49ers are 19th in the NFL in third down conversions. Last year, they were 4th in third down conversions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, I know it's a small
good
sample.
Teams do, but no, but it's what good teams do.
Correct.
You're a good offense. Like, that's the most important down in the NFL. And it killed the Niners on both sides of the ball yesterday. Grandy, do you have the horn? Play the horn again. This was the sound of the 49ers losing the game yesterday in Minnesota. Right. There you go. That, when you heard that, it was about to be third down, and the Niners were about to leave the field.
Right, or it was Minnesota on third down, and the chains were being moved because the Vikings converted the third down. They were 7 of 12. On third down.
There's your game.
Including the drive that they had that ate all the clock, and they got the field goal to make it a 2-score game. Yeah. They converted third and 8, third and 7, and third and 2.
And those are, that's the game. Like, to me, that's what we're talking about as far as what happened yesterday in Minneapolis. Like, the rest of this stuff, it always, it kind of makes me laugh sometimes, right? Because we, depending on the way you want to look at the game, this is what people will do. Well, you had a pump block, and you had a 97-yard touchdown play to Justin Jefferson. If you take stuff like that away, well, then the Niners are right there, and they probably win. The Vikings, on the other hand, are like, dude, we turned the ball over at the 1-yard line and at the 10-yard line. If you take those away, we beat you by 24. Well, you don't get to take any of them away. You all know that. But plays like that are a big part of any football game. But those are just like one or two plays. I'm much more focused on what you're talking about. 12 times on third down, and the Vikings hit well over 50%. And the Niners, what'd you say, had 13?
At third and fourth downs, they had 13.
And they got three of them?
Three of 13.
There's your football game.
Right.
That is your football game right there.
When it's a close game, absolutely. Because I'm thinking about the opener against the Jets, and the Jets were 6 of 10 on third down. The Niners were 6 of 13 on third down. Not as good as the Jets on third down, but it doesn't matter when you are firmly in control of a game and you're up by 2 and 3 scores the majority of the time. It's when you get into those close games that the third down conversions become so magnified. And the other one, Mark, that really struck me about yesterday is that you won the time of possession battle. And when you do that, you're 19-3 in all games over the last two seasons under Kyle Shanahan. We always talk about the touch points for Niner victory. If you rush it 30 times, Kyle's almost unbeatable. When you win time of possession, Kyle's almost unbeatable. And the turnover thing is another one. Well, they were even on turnovers yesterday. Each team had two.
Yep, yep.
So you won time of possession. Turnovers were a net zero. And yet you lost the game and it wasn't even that close.
Well, except for, again, circumstances will play here. The Vikings interception was deep in 49er territory. They immediately turned it into a score. Niners are getting their turnovers way deep in their own territory. Yes, they were able to turn around with the fumble and turn that into a touchdown drive, but still, that takes a lot of time off the clock. The Vikings just had, they had things fall their way on their end of the field. Their big plays were made at the right time. They outplayed the Niners. They win the game. Wanted to throw this one at you, too. And 888-957-9570, he's still taking your phone calls on two things. Where's your worry meter now that we know that Deebo Samuel is going to miss a couple games? And by extension, Brock Purdy, do you think he will flounder or flourish in these two games with no Christian and no Deebo? Dibs and I both say flourish, maybe even for a little bit different reasons. I believe in the line play for the 49ers. I still do, despite yesterday. But in these two matchups, I think that he'll get time to throw. And if he gets time to throw, I think he'll be very effective. He's still got plenty of weapons out there. Mason, Ayuk, Kittle, etc. Jennings, still plenty to move the ball up and down the field. And I think that they should be able to do that against a wounded Rams team. It's also on our social media channels as a poll. Do you think he will flounder or flourish? And flourish right now seems to be winning at about a 60 to 65% clip. But I'll also throw this out there because this was interesting. Remember, Purdy goes up to Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, and after the game said something to the effect of, dude, like, scheme was amazing. Gave him a compliment. Like, in other words, yeah, you confuse me sometimes. And we knew you were going to try, and you did. So Shanahan was asked, did Flores do some things that you weren't prepared for?
No, that's what they do. They either blitz or they back off and play zone. It's one or the other. They've been mixing it up. They did it for 17 games last year. Now they've done it for two games this year. And thought we ran the ball a lot better than a lot of teams have. They're real tough run defense to go against. I thought we made some good explosives in the pass game, but we just struggled to keep the chains moving on third down. And when you end up turning the ball over twice and getting that block punt, that was the difference.
All right. I mean, I get what where he's coming from, and he had said it after the game yesterday. He had said, look, this was a sloppy performance. And so, yeah, these two things can be true at the exact same time, I think, which is that credit the Vikings. They completely outplayed the 49ers. But, yeah, the Niners also did. They didn't play well. That, like, huge mistakes in big moments. You have a block punt. You got a 97-yard throw to Justin Jefferson. You've got a turnover in your own red zone. And you lose by 6. Like, you man, that's the blueprint if you want to lose a football game.
Yeah, costly mistakes for sure. And the block punt is one that I'm sure they're going to replay all day today. And I know they're off tomorrow, but you get back in on Wednesday and the special teams coach is going to have to get with that group and figure out exactly what happened. I watched it a few times, and to have a rusher come straight through, it was between Flanagan Fowles and number 51, whose name I was unable to identify on the roster, maybe you remember, Grandy, who was next to Flanagan Fowles on the punt protection. Whatever, I'll come up with the name on the roster.
On the special teams, yeah.
Yeah, just to have that level of breakdown is just attention to detail. And I'm reading the Shanahan quotes from today's presser, and he was asked about the six sacks, and he goes through and he's just mentioning how three of them were kind of on scrambles. And so, yeah, they go down as sacks, but Brock Purdy dove on one and he lost a yard. And a couple of them were just absolute pass protection breakdowns. But, you know, he thought that the offensive line blocked pretty well. I look forward to hearing from Baldy tomorrow and then Greg Cosell with us on Wednesday as we analyze, you know, what they thought of the offensive line's performance.
Six sacks?
Yeah.
And they did well?
They didn't do well, but he's just saying that, you know, sometimes when you look at six sacks, it's not as bad as the number would indicate. He says, I think three of them, one was scrambling for a zero run, another was scrambling and diving for a negative, and then there were a couple in there, especially on third down. And he said, but I thought they run blocked well. I didn't think when you see six sacks that it's really a tough day on the O-line, but he credits that more to the whole offense.
Yeah, you got a pass block also. You got a pass block. I thought the run blocking was fine. Jordan Mason ran for 5 yards carrying 100 yards.
Yep.
Their pass blocking was not. It was not up to snuff. It wasn't like a disaster, but it wasn't good.
I'm looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers just on pass blocking. Trent had the highest grade at 71. Banks was the same, left side, 71 out of 100. McKivitt's 59.8.
Oof.
Your right tackle.
How about Pooney?
Your right guard, 55.3.
Not great.
Your center, 37.5.
Oof.
So your center and the two to the right, that's where, according to Pro Football Focus,
that's where the pressure came
in pass
from.
Protection, that was the biggest issue.
And that's right up the middle. And that's the hardest thing for a quarterback to
impossible,
avoid.
Impossible, right?
Yeah, when it comes right up the middle.
Unless you're Kyler Murray. Come get me. I dare you.
That third touchdown pass, what the hell was that? Did you see that play?
The one where he ran 74 yards behind the line?
I mean, and
he
avoided,
rolled left, avoided he twirled.
Avoided the sack four times and then delivered a dime to someone I've never heard of for a touchdown. Like, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. He's healthy again. Could be a problem. 888-957-9570. 51 is Robert Beal, by the way.
Thank you.
That's Robert Beal.
And I was just watching it back, and at first I was like, Beal, what are you doing? But then you watch it, and Flanagan fouls goes right, and Beal kind of slides left, and the guy on the Vikings is like, oh, excuse me while I have a clear path. And the other part
of
that,
I'll go ruin the game.
Before
thank you very
we go
much.
To the phones, hey, Mitch Wishnowski, go ahead and dive on the ball, or... Because he gets it blocked,
not
and he
just
stands
dive on
there,
the ball.
And he's like...
No, the guy's already diving on the ball. Just touch him. You're standing next to him, and he ran the other way.
Dude, it was punter paralysis.
I mean, like, I get it.
That was weird.
Well, you're a punter, and especially Mitch. Mitch is not just a punter, but he looks like one. He's built like one.
And you look like one, too.
You look ridiculous on a football field when the other people are starting to fly around your legs. It looks funny. I get that. But he literally went the other way. Like, serious business decision. The Vikings dive on it. It's like, just lean down and touch him on the back.
Just touch
you
somebody.
Don't need to tackle him. You could kick him for all I care. You're a punter. But touch that guy so he doesn't get up and start running down the field. That was wild.
That was.
Let's go to Jose in Oakland. Hi, Jose. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Look, you spend all this time... trying to get Amon Ross, Justin Jefferson type of money, okay? I honestly expect him to show us, okay? Now is the time for you to show me. Were you really worth that money, or are we going to get stuck with a Barry Seto type of contract with you, okay? Because the guy, now he doesn't have Debo, and he doesn't have McCaffrey, you know, to get that attention from the other defenders that usually he gets the benefit of. Okay, this is the time where you're going to show me: are you truly a number one receiver, or have you all this time just been hiding behind these players? It kind of reminds me, you know, that situation with Aldon Smith back then, when he used to have a Justin Smith. Justin Smith used to take 2-3 guys at a time, and Aldon Smith, you know, was benefiting from it and getting all the sacks. But as soon as Justin Smith retired, Aldo's production just went down. And like I said, I'm just hoping that Brandon Ayuk proves me wrong. Honestly, I didn't want him to give him that money, but then again, it's not my money.
Jose,
wasn't about investment.
What would you have said if Brandon Ayuk had come to you and asked for $32 million a year?
I would have traded him, man, honestly. Okay, there was a chance for the Niners to get something out of him. Like I said, he's a good receiver, but if he had come to me asking me for that kind of money and I was the owner, I would have said that's enough for me, dog.
Yeah, okay, there you go, Jose. You know what I love about Jose? Yeah, he knows.
Let him get there.
But he's just like me. He takes an hour and a half to get there.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I know it. I mean, you eventually do get there. And I think we need to give Jose a little bit more credit for the bit. And he may be a reluctant participant.
Well, this time he gave a little chuckle up front to let us know. He's like, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you, Jose, because nobody likes to be a wind-up funny doll. But, you know, sometimes we got to do that. You've got a hook, and the crowd wants to hear it.
They demand it.
You got to give them what they want.
I'm sorry, Jose.
You can't be a rock band and not play your number one hit at a concert. Can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, does Pearl Jam play Jeremy every time that you see him?
That's enough for me, Doug.
They have multiple hits. Yeah,
but
Green Day's coming this weekend. They're going to play When I Come Around? They are. In fact, I guess, did you hear this concert? They promised the whole album. The two albums.
Okay.
American Idiot and Dookie, I think are the names of the albums.
Is he making stuff up?
No, those are the names of the albums.
You know, musically, I live in a different...
You don't know Green Day?
I know. I've heard of Green Day, and I know Green Day when I hear it.
I've heard of... You've more than heard of Green Day.
When I hear a Green Day song, it's less of a turn it up. More often, it's a turn it off.
Those are the names of the two big albums.
I get it.
American Idiot and Dookie.
Dookie makes two things about Dookie. One... it was a character in The Wire, for those of you who partake. Dookie.
It's also what gets yelled at the Caddyshack pool. Remember that?
Yes.
When the candy bar
is
floating through?
Yeah. Yes, the Baby Ruth. Underrated candy bar. And Dookie makes me think about yesterday and the special teams performance. Grandy's Grades coming up tomorrow. Grandy's Grades.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So they promised to play both albums in their entirety.
Perfect. Sounds great.
So there's that. This weekend, I think, at Oracle Park. Is it this weekend? I think it's this weekend at Oracle Park.
Yeah, I would know. Before we go back to the phones, and as we want to impugn the offensive line, Pro Football Focus gave Trent Williams a 90.8 in run blocking.
Oh.
So.
Well, yeah. The run blocking was obviously.
And they went left a bunch.
Yeah,
and
it was good.
Yeah.
Jordan looked good.
Yeah,
Jordan looked good.
Jordan running looked amazing.
Ball.
Yes. Yeah. And watching him run the ball as we maybe slightly pivot from all the negativity of yesterday. I don't think that Fred Warner has gotten his flowers. He might, I don't know if you can give him defensive player of the week when your team loses the game, but pass breakup, stretch out interception, and two peanut punches.
Two forced fumbles. Yeah.
And just watching him play is so much fun.
Just restaurant quality.
Yep.
And listening to him talk afterwards is just as good. Like, you could not build a better leader. You could not build a better linebacker. I love that the world is now fully aware that that is the best linebacker in the NFL. I mean, and this is why, like, listen, I'll admit a weak point. I know a lot of you get so upset because the Niners lost yesterday and you're not getting from 2-6 anybody who's going to come out here and be like, Kyle Shanahan's an idiot. Let's get rid of him. I know that sometimes you want that, and I get that you're not getting it here, but here's the deal. When you come down the road, like one of our callers did earlier today, to list off all of the missed draft picks, these two morons don't know how to make a pick. And you've got the best linebacker in football. Director of sports, Lucas Alexander, what'd you say to me before the show today about Fred Warner? What'd you say? Say it again.
After Sunday's game, I'm now convinced he's the greatest linebacker I've ever seen play football.
Third round!
He's 32.
Third round. Your superstar tight end. You know his wife's name. Fifth round. Your quarterback, seventh round. Stop saying that they miss on every pick.
Also, third rounder, Tarvarius Moore. Jalen Hurd, also a third rounder. So if you're going to...
Yes, Trey Sermon's
third rounder.
They miss.
If you're going to sit here and lecture us...
Everybody misses. Steph Curry misses most of his three-point shots.
Danny Gray, third rounder. Cameron Lotu,
the third rounder.
Third rounder.
The third round has been a little wonky sometimes. Yeah.
Jair Brown, third rounder.
Fifth round is amazing. Dre Greenlaw, George Kittle.
Daryl Luter.
Tyler Noah, who
Robert Beal can't block on a punt protect.
Oh, let's go to Tyler on
Samuel Womack, fifth round.
He wasn't bad. I was surprised he didn't make the team. Hi, Tyler. What's up?
How you doing, guys? So I know you guys are blaming the third down conversions and all that.
Yep.
But what I say is that if Shanahan was aggressive going on some of these fourth downs, he should have been aggressive and done some two-point conversions. We would have had a chance. So let's think about this. They won 12 plays in the third quarter, right? It was 7-20, and they scored a touchdown with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
To go up 14-20. They could have gone for a two-point conversion, made it 15-20, because you know Minnesota's going to come back with a field goal. And once they got that field goal, you know, it could have been 15-23, and then you could have gone down, and, you know, on that last play, you could have gone for that, you know, it's a different mindset. Now you're going for an eight-point play.
Tyler, I think this is a great point.
It's a Joe Shasky production right here.
I think this is a really good point. Yeah, and there are like, Tyler, thank you very much. This is a good point, and I want everybody to understand what he just said. When the Niners scored a touchdown to make it 20-14, could they, should they go for two? Because if you don't get it, well, then you're just down by a touchdown. You're down 20-13. But if you do get it, you're down 20-15, and now a field goal can't make it a two-score game. That's a fair point. Probably should have gone for two.
It's an interesting point, and they all have the chart that they have in front of them based on score and time of game. I wonder if the time of the game was a factor. 10-16 to go when they got the touchdown. So you score with 10-16 to go. You're still thinking, well, we've got at least two more possessions, maybe three if our defense can hold. So I don't know if that's too early to get into the math of it. But Shasky made a great point this morning, and the caller echoing it. It makes sense if you get the two and then they kick the field goal and you're only down eight.
I mean, your defense has not been playing that well all day long. And to me, that whole two-point conversion thing, once you're in the fourth quarter, it's time to start playing that game. That's my opinion. Once you're in quarter four, I think you start playing that sort of analytics game with the two-point conversion. And that's coming from someone who thinks that the NFL, in terms of coaching decisions, has gotten too aggressive, largely. Too aggressive in terms of analytics. Look at Dan Campbell. Look at Brandon Staley. Look at what the Eagles just did 2 seconds ago. You could go up 3-0. They go for it on 4th-and-4. Now how are we doing? Well, now the Falcons have the ball.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, good for you guys. You know what I mean? I even looked at the New York Giants game yesterday, and I messed this up last night on Fox. We were making fun of Brian Daboll for going for a two-point conversion in two situations in the second half that made no sense whatsoever. Come to find out later that their kicker was hurt. So that's why they were going for two. However, the first time they scored a touchdown, their kicker was already hurt. What'd they do? They went for an extra point. Now, they didn't get it, but I have the hardest time believing that punters, somebody on that sideline ought to be able to kick an extra point. Because when you're in the second half of a football game, you score a touchdown, you go up three, and then an extra point gives you a four-point lead against a Commander team that didn't score a touchdown all day. Dude, I don't know, man. Find somebody to put that point through that would have won the game for you. But you went for two, you didn't get it, you ended up losing.
Yeah, it's just not that easy.
It's not easy, but in general, I feel like we lean a little too aggressive. But fourth quarter, it's different. I'm with Tyler and Shasky. I think Kyle Shanahan should have gone for two there. And I didn't even think of it at the time, but they're right.
Yeah, it just depends on what you're looking at. And, you know, I was just doing some quick research during that explanation. And the two-point conversion is about a 45% proposition. The PAT is closer to 95% with the new distance. So it's risky, but I guess the risk is you don't get it. And what, you're still down by...
You're down by seven.
You're down by seven.
And a field goal still makes it a touchdown and a field goal, which is exactly what a... You know what I mean? You could only tie it instead of win it, but you know what I mean? I think it's the right play. I do. I think the Niners should have done it. Should have given it a shot.
And there. I wonder if Kyle will be asked in his next media availability or if anybody's going to examine it, because the whole thing about overtime in the Super Bowl is something that I think that he... I don't know if he would do it differently this time, but he certainly has had plenty of time to think about it.
Even with that, it could be worse. You could be Sean Payton not going onside kick in the final 2 minutes down by 7 points with only one timeout left.
Oof. That's odd.
They kicked a field goal to get down by seven with 1:56 on the clock, had one timeout left, and kicked the ball away.
What?
Yep. So Sean Payton did. Yeah.
So they just kneeled and that was it?
They ran a couple of times.
There were one play. They called timeout, and then you... Ugh, that's weird.
If I can just, for 10 seconds, I know we're up against it.
No,
but
you're good.
I don't like the new kickoff.
Neither do I.
It's almost instant touchback, and there's no more onside kick.
By the way, well, there's still onside kick, but you have to like signal to everybody that you have to do it.
And the Mitch onside kick, the 6-yard spinner.
That wasn't great.
What are we doing, that wasn't guys? Great.
By the way, though, here's my 10 seconds on the kickoff. If that ball ever gets to the end zone, get your butt on the ground, get out to the 30-yard line.
Thank you.
Don't you ever, ever take a ball out of that end zone ever again. It is almost never a good idea. Now, if it's in front of the end zone and you have to, fine. That ball's in the end zone, take the 30. That's good field position. Sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. It's Willard and Dibbs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third down, 15. Here comes Van Ginkle. Ball deflected. It's picked off on the ricochet. Flag right there. Jonah Williams. No, make it. Jahan Ward. In that congested area.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Was it you before the show who said the Niners don't go back to Minnesota till 2030? Is that true?
That wasn't me.
I don't know how that can be determined already.
Well, it can't be.
Yeah,
that's like, based on just the rotation of playing a division every 4 years.
And but so that's not how it works.
I know, but next time that they play the NFC North in the rotation, theoretically that game would be here. But you also have the we came in first, you came in first crossover game.
Correct.
Now, this is not one of them. This is them playing. Do they play every team in the North this year? They play Green Bay.
Yes, I think they do.
They have Detroit again.
Yes, they do. Detroit Monday night, December 30th.
Chicago comes here. Is that right?
I believe that is accurate as well.
So if that's the case, then in 2028, the Vikings will come here.
Yeah. Yes, they are Chicago December 8th here at Levi's. Detroit, December 30th here at Levi's, and you know Lambeau Field, Thanksgiving week.
Right, so there is a chance that they can play Minnesota again when they have a first place, or if they come in second, and Minnesota comes in second, and there's that crossover, the added-on game can still be in place. Because in the 17-game schedule, you've got your six divisional games, right? You've got your four against the AFC division of choice every year. This year, I think that is the East, if I'm not mistaken, because you play Buffalo, you play New England.
Correct.
You play Miami.
Yep.
And you play the Jets already. So that gives you 10 games. You play four against an NFC division that rotates every year. So now we're at 14 games. There are three more games that are varied. They're
like
random.
Wild cards.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you will. Yeah. Sure.
So
sure.
That could be a Minnesota game sooner than in 8 years.
I think this year are those games Tampa, Dallas, and Kansas City. Is that right?
That is right.
Yeah. Oh, wait. But then there's Minnesota also. No. That's the division. Yeah.
Right,
Tampa, Dallas, and Kansas City, which are all in a row, by the way.
They were three first place teams. Tampa, Dallas, and Kansas City.
Correct.
And the Niners were first. So those are, you have an NFC South. Mm. An NFC East and an AFC West.
Yes.
Tampa was a first place team, I believe. They won the South.
Tampa was a first place team. I was trying to remember who won the division between Dallas and Philadelphia.
Dallas did, remember? Because
yeah,
Philadelphia.
That's right. Philadelphia fell apart.
They schmit their pants down the stretch. It's been a while.
Yeah, you better sneak it. You only got a couple weeks left to play with those guys.
Seriously.
Hey, but Elliot Ramos, nice Apo Taco, huh? Nice.
That was awesome.
Yeah, right-handed splash hit. That's
first
pretty cool.
Ever in the cold, damp air, too.
Yeah,
that wasn't like wind blowing out on a hot day. That was a legit bomb ski.
And McCovey Cove Dave got it, like he always does. I don't know how the hell he knows where to be, but he did it.
Well,
especially on that one. He was a right-hander.
He was right there, too.
He was right, like it almost hit him.
Yeah. Good for McCovey Cove Dave.
Yes, good for McCovey Cove Dave. Like, his name is McCovey Cove Dave. So when
he's
you hit the
there.
Ball in McCovey Cove, it should go to Dave. So that's fine.
And I wonder what percentage of splash hits that he has acquired. Because it seems like he gets every one.
Well,
now, I'm sure there are some that he hasn't gotten.
He doesn't.
We're like, about 110 splash hits now?
Just for the Giants.
Correct.
Yes. So I want to say that he once told me he had a collection that was somewhere north of 40. But that may include a lot of road guys, too.
Gotcha.
Splash hits from Bryce Harper or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's ever, like, any clamor for him to give it back to the player or if it's a negotiation sensation. Grandy's not in there.
Thank you very much for bringing that up. I do have information on this front.
Please.
From friend of the station, Steven Rizzotto. McCovey Cove Dave says he wouldn't give the historic splash hit ball back to the Giants after he says recent negotiations didn't go well. But he would share it with Cooperstown. Here's the quote. It's my most precious ball. I've worked over 20 years for it.
Hmm. I don't know if he's worked for it, but I understand where he's coming from. Like,
spent a lot of hours.
Well, he actually, people, y'all don't know this, or maybe you do. He does like charts and analytics on where to be.
Of course.
Well, I don't know how you can do that with a right-handed hitter. No one's ever done it before. So how do you know where to be? But he did.
Well, it's not like he kayaks to land when there's a righty up. He just is out there, you know?
I think there's more to it than that.
There's definitely more to it.
He's not just out there.
And it's a good lesson to all you kids out there that 90% of anything is showing up. It's effort and it's attendance. And I've made it this far in my career, not on talent, but by showing up. I showed up early.
You are here
and
most days.
I showed
days.
Up often.
Yeah, you are here most days.
Even in the early days.
Yeah.
And I tell this to any young person who wants advice on how to break in the business, you got to try. You got to call people, you got to meet people, and you got to show up. And McCovey Cove Dave doesn't get any of these balls unless he gets his kayak.
Yeah, you got to go to McCovey Cove to be McCovey Cove Dave.
Or wherever he launches that baby, wherever he puts that thing in the water and you start paddling, and you get over there and you get it. And I'll say this, just one last little footnote to this story.
Let's go.
He doesn't owe that ball to anybody. And if they don't want to, if the Giants don't want to give him an offer that he thinks is fair for that treasure, then he keeps it. You don't owe anybody that ball.
I agree with you on that. I don't
let anybody push you around, Covey Cove Dave.
I don't love the idea that he's like, I won't even talk to them. I mean, what if Elliott wants it? That's kind of a bummer. But no, he doesn't owe it to him.
Right.
I don't know. Take his phone call.
Yeah, I thought Director of Sports Lucas Alexander said that the offer that he received was not up to par.
No, that was from previous negotiation.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
They were negotiating something else. I forget what it was that happened earlier this year. There was another landmark or whatever type of a splash hit, and he got it.
Oh, the 100th probably.
Yeah, and they negotiated that, and it didn't go well. So now he's like, now I'm not even going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's his right. Like, ball went out there. He got it.
Exactly.
So, I don't know why the Giants wouldn't. Like, if you actually want it, just give him whatever the, what skin off your back is it? Like, whatever. Like, what could you be negotiating? I don't know. Did he want season tickets behind the plate? Maybe that's a little bit much. But
he wants to be in his boat.
Yeah.
I don't think that he has he ever even been in the park?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
They don't call him Club Level Dave. They call him McGovey Cove Dave.
Amazing.
Seriously.
Box seat Dave.
Yep.
What are you doing in 4 minutes, Grandy?
We got the football hour.
Oh, that's
myself
right.
And Sterling.
I knew that.
Sterling's in
I
for
that
Kyle.
Already. That's yeah. Sterling's in for Kyle. So you're going to get mad in 4 minutes.
We'll see.
Yeah. You're going to get totally ticked.
Well, I mean, you can't be mad at Debo for getting hurt. We'll be talking about that for sure.
All right. All right. So, yeah, that's right. The football hour. Here it comes. Sterling Bennett is in for Kyle. The full football hour, full reaction from these two gentlemen on the 49ers loss to the Vikings. So that's what's coming up around the bend. Make sure you stay tuned for that. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Mark Schlereth's going to join us tomorrow.
Awesome.
Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I do.
Okay, let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.